Hey, good evening. We are in Surbet, Rabbanan Or HaChaim. We are starting tonight the shir, which is a continuation of last week's shir, a continuation of the last few weeks of shirim. It's the second shir in volume 10, the Bronner Feinblum and Wonder Family volume. And tonight we're going to veer from our religious path of making sure we stick to one shir in the book a week. I'm going to split the shir into two. So tonight we're going to discuss, if you look in the introduction here, so the topics covered tonight are the sanctity of tefillin, that's the Torah, the Kedusha of tefillin, and then we've got tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So tonight we're going to discuss a bit of the Kedusha of tefillin, and then next week we'll do Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. The reason I want to do that is, firstly, as I told you, a few sitting over here, that there's a series of World Series. We're the only guys that are on a weekly basis. So we've got a place to allow people to catch up with us. And I think that the Machlok between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is a subject which deserves its own shir. I want to try and spend a bit of time really understanding next week what the machloket really is all about. It's not a simple machloket, it's quite technical, quite complicated. We'll try and get a good handle on that machloket, so at least we'll walk away next week knowing exactly what that is all about. So I don't want to spend too much time about Tam and Rashi. We can get straight into the Kedusha of tefillin. We're starting on page 59 in book number 10. And just the last year, we spoke about wearing the tefillin, right? Like where you wear the tefillin, how you wear the tefillin, etc. Not passing wind with the tefillin, not going to sleep, not going to the toilet with the tefillin, and all those sorts of things. Tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about the actual Kedusha of tefillin. Now what's very interesting is not in this shir, but if any of you took the time to read, there's a great article. I strongly recommend that you read the articles before after the shir. But at the end of last week's shir, where there's a subject there called Further Iyun, there's an article by Rabbi Jeremy Cook, great, great, great guy. I interviewed him to accept him to the program. He's really a great guy. And they're all great, that's the truth, from the Money Good Training program. And he writes a fantastic article with a lot of makorot, a lot of sources, discussing tefillin, mezuzah tefillin and sefer Torah. They go together, right? That's what we call sofrei stam. You might have heard of a stam, sofer stam. What is sofer stam? Stam is sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. That's what stam stands for. Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. So the three of them go together. They go together all over the show, discuss. Makes sense they go together because they're all written on parchment. They're actually written on different types of the parchment. It's worth reading this article. There's the gvil, there's the duchuschus, and there's the klap. There's a bit of the parchment. It's divided into three parts. You've got the part that's closest to the animal's body, the part that's on the outside animal's hair, in the middle part. And they're all different in Kedusha. Some, it's worth reading that. It's not a topic of our shir tonight. What's interesting over there is that he really tries to prove, and I think he does it quite convincingly, that the Kedusha and Tefillin and Sefer Torah aren't very different. Mezuzah is in its own category. Okay? This is its own category. But the Kedusha of Tefillin is really almost the same Kedusha as Sefer Torah. And now, the reason I say almost, I think he even wants to try to say it's exactly the same Kedusha, but let's say it's almost the same Kedusha. The reason why I'm giving that introduction is because often, you know, everybody stands up and the Torah walks past you and it's halacha, you've got to stand up. Just while on that subject, people don't know. The halacha shulchan aruch, when the Sefer Torah walks past you, you've got to stand up until the Sefer Torah stops. So next time, for example, we're sitting in shul over here and they take us out of the arrow and the arrow comes out and they walk past. It's not good enough to stand up, and then when the Sefer Torah goes past you and it's busy being walking, you sit down. Until the Sefer Torah stops and he's put down on the Amud, on the Bima, you stay standing. That's the Sefer Torah. So we don't stand for Tefillin. So therefore, we think that Tefillin is completely different Torah, but there's a hell of a high level of Kedusha in Tefillin. So he speaks over here in beginning, like the notes of the Shir. I left my Mishnah Berurah behind. I ran out here to be on time. I left my Mishnah Berurah behind. Okay, doesn't matter. No, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. The Mishnah Berurah brings it all. I wanted to read it like in the Shulchan Aruch, like all together, but it doesn't matter. There are a couple of halachas that are mentioned right there, are basing the Gemara about ways to deal with tefillin. Now, obviously, the tefillin today and the tefillin of the Gemara might be the same tefillin, but the behavior we know is not the same. Right? We discussed already in the previous shiurim that today we don't wear tefillin the whole day. In the time of the Gemara, they deal with the tefillin the whole day. So people would come home, and just like you took off your jacket, you take your tefillin. Okay, so you're going to go to the bathroom, you're going to go to wash and do whatever you're going to do. Take off your jacket, you undo your tie maybe, take off your hat, hang it up, and you take your tefillin. It'll be part of your clothing. So you don't have a tefillin, and what would you do with your tefillin? So the instinct would be to hang your jacket on the kotuk and to hang your tefillin on the kotuk and then put your cap on top and then go inside. So based on that, the Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi Chanina, this is a Gemara Masechet Brachot of Kaftar 24a. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ani ra'iti et Rebbe shetala tefillav. I saw Rebbe, says Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina learned to the Rebbe, when he's telling him. He says, I saw Rebbe, young Talmud, I saw Rebbe, Rabbi Ranasi here, and he hung up his tefillin, right? And he hung them up. So the Gemara says, Meiti bei, how can that be? The Gemara brings a quite a bright idea, which says, HaTole tefillav yitlech lo chayav. The person who hangs up his tefillin, his life will be hanging in the hanging. You're playing with your life here. What are you talking about? And the Gemara says, and Dorshei Chamurot Amru. And they translate here the Dorshei Chamurot, meaning the symbolic interpreters. Okay, people like discuss here, like all things that we shouldn't do. The people who hang up their tefillin, basically your life is hanging in front of you. So what do you mean Rebbe hung up his tefillin? The Gemara says, Lokasha. Habirutsua, habakitza. It depends if you're hanging it from the strap or you're hanging in the actual box. Okay, if you take the tefillin off, that's the tefillin for Rosh, you can take the tefillin straps down, put the strap over and have the hang and the box dangling down. Or you can take the box and you can put the box on a hook and have the strap dangling down. So we want to say that when we say, right, that when do we say that that's terrible and it's dangerous and you're putting your life it's hanging in the midst, that's if you hang it from the straps. That's disgusting. They don't think like you hang a packet, like just from, and the tefillin are dangling. Where the real kedusha is in the boxes themselves, not in the straps. Right? So he says, the Gemara says, that's the first answer of the Gemara, Lo Kashia. The second answer of the Gemara is, and some want to say, Lo Shna Ritzua, Lo Shna Ktzitza Asur. It makes no difference. Even if you hang it from the box, it's still not something we should be doing. It's still Asur. Right? Vechitala Rebbe. And when Rebbe hung it up, God forbid you think Rebbe did it, Bekisatatala, Rebbe did it in a tefillin box. So Rebbe took, like, you know, the kids have got these, like, tefillaniot now, you know, they've got an arm thing on it. So imagine Rebbe had that, and he came home and he hung it up in that. That's really a different story altogether, but God forbid, take a tefillin off, hang the tefillin up. So the first answer to the Gemara is, if you did it by the straps, it's bad, on the box, not so bad. The Gemara is much more machbir. Right, so if you look at Rashi over here on the Gemara, so Rashi's over here, HaTolei Tfilav, Zeh HaTolei Tfilav, the person who hangs his tefillin, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, Zeh HaTolei Tfilav, HaTolei Tfilav, Yitalu Lo Chayav, right? His life will hang. Rashi's on that. Why is that? Yitalu Lo Chayav, SheHaTorah Chayav Shel Adam. The Torah is the person's life. He Ki Chayenu, Vorei Chemenu. He said it every day. When he said it? Ki Chayenu, Vorei Chemenu. In Arabic. Right? Kihem chayenu rechem chayenu, right? That's the Mekah. So, Shatorah chayav shladam. Verem is lecha katuv, shitlu chayav. So, that's God forbid. The Torah is your life, and the tefillin, your whole life will hang up, etc. Beruchua. Then we saw the one answer the Gemara gave was straps, and one was by the box itself. So, Rashi says, yeah, Beruchua, bak tzitza lemata, right? And the box are hanging on the bottom. Genai ulahe, and that's disgusting. About tlehu tam, because if you actually put the boxes on something, or tehak tzitza munach na liyated, Beruchua lemata, that would seem to be okay. According to the first answer. So, because there's a bit of a steer here, right? The Rebbe on the one hand did it, and then the Bride said this is a dangerous thing to do. So we see over here, to answer the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch of the Paskins, Asu Litlotia, and Shulchan Aruch Orochaim in chapter 40, in the paragraph 3 here on page 60, says, Asu Litot Tfilin, Bain Bebatim, Bain Beretzuot. He goes to the second Ibiat Aim of the Gemara. He takes a second understanding of the Gemara, which is that it makes no difference how you can't do it. But in their boxes, you can. So I'm not sure if it's like the path, like I said, or maybe even in the boxes which we have today. The reason I say the boxes we have today, we'll see, we're going to get to it a little bit later today, that the idea when tefillin falls on the floor. if tefillin are in their box, you know, like our box, you take tefillin and put it in the box, that seems to be already, it's a kula, that papul are already machmir, but we'll see. I think it's the Pesach Truvas. We'll see that he says if it's in that box, it seems to be okay, because otherwise you've got to fast with tefillin drop. We all know if the Torah falls on the floor, you've got to fast. The halacha is same halacha. If you drop tefillin in its raw form, but unprotected, you meant to fast. Now we'll see that the mafarshi in the poskim, I think already even the Shulchan Aruch says, right, that today because of the generations and we're weak. Right, definitely the Pesach Truvas. I can't see it right now. Definitely the Pesach Truvas, but I think maybe it's the Kafachayim. I think Pesach Truvas and the Kafachayim both say that we should fast. Because the generation there, we don't fast easily. We're a bit spoiled. Right, so nowadays you can be more makel, you can convert the fast into money. But if it's in the box, then just a small little token tzedokah. I'm sure as kids you all heard that, right? If you drop it, you're going to give charity. Anyone ever heard that before? No one ever heard that? You've heard it, right? We were told the school, but you go give tzedakah. So he says over here that notenak b'shat. That's the Mishnah Berurah over here. Not the Mishnah Berurah. The Rashi that he says that there's two. Okay, so that's Shulchan Aruch. What is Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan says you got to hang it up. Right now, not only there are a couple of things that are mentioned about the tefillin. That's why I wanted to actually read them all together, but I haven't got the book in the world. So the first thing we said was you shouldn't hang the tefillin up from a hook. The second halacha Mishnah Berurah mentions here is in Shulchan Aruch, sorry, in Or HaChaim, or in chapter 40 there. So afilu laniach, he says that you shouldn't like rest your legs. Now it's funny. I looked at this on Shabbos, and my son packed up there to go to Eli. And he put his big bag together and he put his tefillin into the bag. I said, be careful you put the tefillin, because it's common you see kids on the buses or the trains or whatever. So they've got their big bag, either put their feet on it, the buses, the train is full, or they put it next and they lean on it, they sleep on it, whatever. You can't use tefillin as a pillow, and you can't use your tefillin as a leg rest. So the tefillin are in your bag and you're not sure where they are and you put your feet on the bag, you're basically using your tefillin as a leg rest. You can't do that, right? It's not mechubad. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch mentions there as well. This is over there that when you've got it in your bag, you can't lift. Look, he says, "Yafilu lahaniach bekli toch kli." Even if you've got the tefillin in one kli inside another kli, asul hanicham tachat margelotav. You can't put your feet on it. Now we're going to get to the issue of here. What does it mean, kli betoch kli? So we've got that. The idea over here is we see quite a lot of detail here, and you'll understand tonight why I wanted to split the two shiurim. It's quite technical, you'll see. It's very technical. Maybe a little bit too technical, in fact. But the idea here is that tefillin to be protected have to be one kli inside another kli. We're going to see a machloket just now amongst the poskim. But the idea is two kalim, and one of them shouldn't be the original kli that you would use. So, for example, if you've got a talis bag, like some of us have got, for example, you, I know you also got like a talis, big plastic bag, you got a big suitcase, right? So that's your, that, I don't know how that suitcase would be, because maybe that suitcase is not ready. Although you've converted that suitcase into your bag. That's your standard bag which you use for talis and tefillin, right? So I've got, if you open it, it's like a white, like a see-through thing, you've got a talis bag inside and a tefillin bag inside it, and the tefillin are inside the tefillin bag, and then that's a bag. We'll see in a moment that doesn't help. That's not considered one, right? That's not one inside the other. That, what's it called? Not experiment, what's it what I'm looking for? What? No, demonstration. When you're in court, they say exhibit. Right? That exhibit, right? That exhibit over there, you'll see that it doesn't count. So we see over here already that the idea is that you've got to have bags. So he says, you shouldn't rest your feet, and he says one bag, one in another box. We'll see later on as well. I'm running these things here because we'll see them when they're written, just to make some more sense, talking a bit freer, that it doesn't have to necessarily be a clean inside a clean. It could be also, you could, a covering, you cover with a cloth. Or you can even cover your tefillin with your talis. Right? Because talis is not part of tefillin. So if you cover the tefillin in a tefillin bag, and then you put a talis over the tefillin, that might be good enough. You see, there's some kulis that one covering which is not part of the tefillin, either their box or their bag, one other covering could be enough. And then we'll see Rabbi Yonah, Geroni, we've spoken about before, and it was a Rishon, he says that even if you've got a box in a box in a box, 10 boxes, you can never enough. You can never cover your tefillin enough from the Kedusha's point of view. That's very machmir. I don't think we hold like that, lechat chida. And we should try. But the rest is back to the Shulchan Aruch. Number 4, you're on page 60. Said, La'nicham b'mita keneged sidor dinin ketachet margalot. Putting on the bed next to your head, right? Right? Next to you, on the side of you. It's the same as putting it under your feet. You don't have your tefillin too close to you. So if you're in a place and you're scared, whatever, and you're going to sleep and you hold your tefillin, make sure it's wrapped at least in the talus, whatever the case is, and not too far. The Mishnah Berurah on that Shulchan Aruch, right, says like this: Safsalim shebein haKnesset. It's amazing how the Mishnah Berurah time they had this already, right? It was long before Lavi made the fancy shul benches, right? Safsalim shebein haKnesset shetachet haSafsalim yesh teiva latznir sham tefillin. In the benches underneath, they got a little box for the talis and tefillin under their seats. The Beit Midrash of the Mishnah Berurah already had that, right? Yes, you remember Ashur Hashem and Asafsin. You can't sit there. Those are you can't sit on the bench because the box, the tefillin underneath your bum, right? The Yesh Batrin, those that you can. Aval Kesheyesh Chalal Tefach by Teva Panui. So if there's a tefach, that's about 8 centimeters of open of airspace beneath you and the tefillin, right? Then Mutar Vaday Leshev. Then you can definitely sit on the benches. Because, you know, we always say that tefach is like a tumah as well, with the body of that. A tefach of tumah basically separates. That's like a proper, you know, we today you use air as a good insulator. But halachically, even air is a good halachic insulator, right? From tumah and all sorts of things, right?
You have
a tefach, so you've got a bench, you've got the bench, you've got the box on top.
When you have a mate, put something above it, or can you leave it just...
No, if with a mate... If it's mamash on the mate, then the tumah is bokeh ad l'rakia. You have to have a tefach above the mate, and then...
Even airspace is sufficient.
Airspace? No, you got it on top of the airspace something. If it's airspace, it'll go all the way up to the wall.
But what they normally do is they put some...
Are those like cinder blocks?
Yeah.
Or polystyrene?
But they're not...
But they're a tefach above the mate.
Agreed.
That's what's doing the insulation, is the tefach.
Well, my question is whether without that box, there is a tefach, is that sufficient?
How can you have a tefach if you haven't got that box?
Air.
But then you've got more than a tefach. You have to have something covering it.
No, you obviously got a tumah above.
Right.
So you've got a tumah on top.
Right.
So you've got the mate.
So you're saying is it dafka a tefach or at least a tefach? That's your question.
No, my question is whether you actually need something or the air is sufficient. The air space itself, or do you need that?
Okay, let's discuss it afterwards. I'm not sure I understand the question. The Mishnah Berurah here is saying at least that if you've got this box, and there's a tefach of airspace, and there's a safsal, there's a bench on top of it, that airspace of a tefach already differentiates between you and the tefillin, you can sit, not a problem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Right? So, Baal Nefesh, but look what he says here. Baal Nefesh, ever a person who's particular, right? He's careful, he's machmir. If he can, he shouldn't say that either. Ki tefillin, listen to this. Yesh tizaher b'gdushatan ma'od. Honestly, that's the whole shiur, if you ask me, is that summed up in that sentence, right? Because he has tefillin, you've got to be very, very careful for extremely, here they say, cautious with regards to the kedusha of tefillin. Vim kavu b'masmerim lakotel. If the bench, now he says, is attached to the wall with nails, right? So then, mutar eshev la safsal. Then you can definitely sit there because there's not a bench anymore. You aren't sitting. It's not leaning on the tefillin, so to speak. It's being held up by the wall. It's like a structure of the wall, and the tefillin happen to be underneath there. You aren't sitting. Yeah, he's probably the bench. You're sort of like sitting. Basically, you're sitting on the tefillin. That's his idea. You're leaning on the tefillin. Simply putting your feet in the bed. We'll see in a moment. It'll come a little bit clearer. The Piskei Tshuvos we've seen before, right? This is Rabinovich from Yerushalayim. So he said, "Yatzeinim etoch sakit or mizvada v'chadome." This happens to us all the time. You're filling it in a basket, in a bag, or in a box, or something like that. You can't in it. It's not saying to your aunt, you got stuff in your bag. You know, others in your bag. You can't use that bag now. Right? Because you squash up the tefillin with its weight, would be zal, it's disgusting for the tefillin. They're in a box. So ever now, but that's a big question. You've got a tefillin in the bag. What about if you put the bag on the floor? Are the tefillin now essentially on the floor, or are they in the bag? So it says, you put the tefillin in the air, isur, there's no real isur. Why? Because the tefillin are covered. Right? A bag within a bag. So there, from a kedusha point of view, of just sitting on the floor, they aren't on the floor. But to put your feet on them is something else, or sit on them is something else. Because then you're squashing them, and that's something, that's not a nice way to behave with them, right? He says, you shouldn't sit on them, if they're on the bench with you, like next to you over here. Right? I want to say the amazing thing about books, we'll get to in a moment. Right? Kashem she'asru, he said, Pesifrei Kosh, you shouldn't sit on the same bench. If you're sitting on a bench over there, like that bench, you shouldn't put a sitter on the bench next to you. Right? You shouldn't put a sitter on the bench next to you. Unless you put something under the tefillin, like a I don't know, like a, if you've got like a, just a regular a book or something, right, to make it separate, right? So all these ideas over here we've seen. So basically, we've spoken here about hanging up the tefillin, using it to put on the to your feet on, putting your head on it, leaning, lying next to the bed with you on it. Putting on the floor is not so difficult, but really, tefillin has to be treated with a tremendous amount of kedusha. It's not just another item; it's mamash kedusha, almost on the same level as the Sefer Torah. And I don't think anybody here would put their feet in the Sefer Torah, even if it was in a box, right? And that's really the idea: just to sensitize yourself to the idea that tefillin, even though they don't look like Sefer Torah, but they've got a very, very high level of kedusha, and to treat them in the same way that you would, where you put them in the house, how you keep them, how you deal with them, taking them, carrying them, etc. That's one of those things that Chazal have a word for. It's called, like, you know, you become so used to things. You know, that's what you say, like, that was in English, they think familiarity breeds contempt, right? That when you're so used to something, it loses its kedusha. And that's really Sefer Torah. Hardly any of us ever touch a Sefer Torah, hardly ever read a Sefer Torah, whatever the case. So Sefer Torah is like up there on a pedestal. But tefillin, thank God, all of us are using tefillin every single day of the week, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. So, you know, it's like just it's one of your articles. So it's hard to attribute to the same level of kedusha. I think that's really the idea. And yeah, comes a big question. And this is, what about if you've got tefillin in the room, right? And you have relations with your wife. You come and you forget to bring the tefillin home. You put them on your, I don't know where people keep the tefillin, but let's say you keep it in your bedroom. And you've got a nice, very nice shelf in your bedroom with a, what's it called? Like a felt, nice suede felt shelf. You got your beautiful mantelpiece there, but it's exactly opposite your bed. Right? So the Gemara says like this. Tane bayit sheyesh bo sefer Torah or tefillin. See that? Together. Bayit sheyesh bo sefer Torah or tefillin. Sefer Torah or tefillin together. The house has got it. Asur l'shamesh bo tamita ad sheyotziyam. You can't have relations there in the house until you take them out. You put them one vessel into the other vessel. We spoke earlier about the idea of a vessel. Now, we don't take them out of our houses. Okay, I think that today it's clear that another room is basically as good as another house. Okay, the idea here, I think, in terms of Chazal, one big house, probably one big room, if we were to put it into another house. I think that today we can comfortably say that our houses, our rooms, you know, are sufficiently separate reshut, one from the other. You know, that's the issue. Everybody's ever davened mincha in my office during the week. You'll know that Rav Baruch is very particular that there's at least a minyan inside the boardroom and not six inside and three or four out, four outside, right? Because that's the idea. Because each room, a room is its own reshut. It's got a door, whatever. It's a separate reshut. Okay, this mechitz in the shul of Yaz meant to make that's a separate reshut to this reshut. When the men and women in the shul, they aren't really in the same shul. Women are in that shul, men are in this shul. That's what a mechitza does. You'll see the same idea of a mechitza with regards to books of tefillin as well. You could either have the book in a different room or in a different house or in a mechitza between them two or covered. We'll see a closed drawer, right? But we'll see over here the idea that it should be contained 40 se'ah, which is quite big as a mikvah, to make it something separate. A cupboard. We'll see that. We'll get to that.
So we open the door and the Sefer Torah is
out. We open the door and the Sefer Torah goes out of the reshut. But they're both shleyachid, so it's okay. Right? Opening the door doesn't suddenly make these two one reshut. The door is still a separation. There's a door that's making there's a door frame or a door post, whatever the case is, door separate reshut. But it's a mamash halachi separate reshut. That's what they have to be a measure. A mechitza has to be these 10 tefachimah. You know that halachically, the minimum size of a mechitza for a shul is 10 tefachimah, about 80 centimeters, not very high. But that's the halachic measure for a separate reshut. The mechitza of 10 tefachim ha separates one reshut into another reshut. What? I'm saying, so mechitza should be 10 tefachim ha. Right? Question, where do you count the 10 tefachim from? From here or from there? In a case like this. Okay, we got sidetracked completely. So now, tell me what I say. This is what Rabbi says. This Rabbi says, this only a kli. This he says, when we say a kli inside a kli, we aren't including its own kli. He says, however, of our kli shu klalyan, if it's one of its own kli, if it's only 10 kli, if it's only one. Okay? Now, Rabbi Shimon Levi, who's a heavyweight, says, Sefer Torah, you have to make a mechitza of asara. He says, Sefer Torah is more chamur. You can't just put one into another clear Sefer Torah. You actually have to mechitza, a 10 tvachi mechitza, because you want the Sefer Torah to be its own reshut. That's the idea, right? And Mazur Igla, it's another Gemara here. Mazur Igla by Rav Ashi, so another story again. There we saw about Rebbe hanging his tefillin here. Mazur came to Rav Ashi's house. Chazi, he saw in Dukhtar de Mar by Rav Ashi. The Mazur was ever told of Avidai Mechitza, sorry, he'd be made Mechitza of 10. So he said to Mamar, they say, now listen to this. Rav Ashi says to, Rav Ashi, obviously a rich guy. Right, so Mazur says to him, Mamar, they command, you hold me, you pass the Mishum in Levit, you're doing a Mechitza here. But Rav Ashi said that we've only got one house, but you've got more than one house. So therefore, you should have put it in the other house. Right, so he says, look what he says, Amalei, lava data, I didn't think about that. I didn't realize that. So really, even Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says a separate mechitza, it's very much it's a bedieva situation. I did a different room, like I said, a different room, our houses, or like, I think a different room is a different house. Okay, the Beit Yosef says, about the same idea there, the Beit Yosef, I think he's the one that quotes Rabbi Yonah, right? Let's just look here. He says, Rashi says, Beit Yosef quotes on that Gemara there, about kli within a kli. He says, afilu asra mani kulam klan keechad manu dam, that's abaya. That's Rashi explaining what he's talking about. If both the kalim, the two kalim, which are not normal kalim, like using extra special stuff this time, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that when one of those kalim are the original kli of the tefillin, then it doesn't make a difference. 10 won't help you. So you have to have two separate, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you're very machmir, you have two separate kalim. Like in the, have to be like the tefillin in his bag, in a box. Or we'll see even wrapped up, so we have to have a separate one. The Shulchan Aruch basically passes like Rashi. It says, buy chesh bo tefillin, asur l'shamesh bo mitato, ad shi yotziam, or shi nicham kli b'toch li, one clean to the other. Hu she'ein ha'sheinim miyachad lahem. And the second kli isn't basically like the same as the first one, shi'm miyuchad afilu me'adu ha'mi the same. And the Mishnah, the Ramah says, yeah, and if each one of them are neither the normal kalim you use for tefillin, or one of them is, then it would be okay. So you could either even have one maybe, according to the Ramaya, if it wasn't. Mishnah Berurah goes, he says, he's the one who says that, who adin chumashim or sidrei tefillot or shar svarim. Same idea. So you should have relations in front with your wife in a room where there's sidur, where there's svarim there, or sidur or chumash. It's much more machmir than we think, eh? Well, I don't know about you, but I've been to houses where they've got like a decent bookshelf in the bedroom. You know, guys bring books to their bedroom at night and they've got next to the bed a pile of quite impressive svarim. Goes to bed, you don't even think twice about it. I've had svarim next to my bed. You know, you're always aware of it. And here you've got to be really, really, really aware of these things. Mishnah Berurah says, whether it's chumashim or sidurei tefillah or shar svarim, bein b'ktiva b'tfus, even if it's even handwritten or manuscripts or printed books, they've all got kedusha. U'ba'inan kli tochli, they all need to be interpreted. Avafiru imhein ketav mishita. He says, yeah, I don't know what he means over here, but they're written from manuscripts. He says, afiru b'yad. Vayayim b'taz, listen to this, and he quotes the Turei Zahav here, we spoke about it before, the parashah of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, shekatav, he says, kol ha'meikil b'kdushat svarim, and anybody who's lenient when it comes to printed books, says, ah, that's only talking about a Sefer Torah, or, you know, or if it's written with a scribe, not printed books, they haven't got Kedusha in them, it's not the same thing. He says, atid didn't adin, he will be held accountable. The tfus have a kemo kativ, he says, because as far as he's concerned, printing and writing are basically the same thing. The Chavat Yair, who's a parish, I think around the 1700s, Chavat Yair from Prague, I think, he says that he's more makil b'shat tachak, if you go down and you cover them with if they're printed books. Okay, so this issue of kli b'toch kli, I want to quickly go over one last thing, then we'll finish that subject. You know, Mishnah Berurah here, 11 on page 64, he says over there, he says, lav dafka kalim. So the important Mishnah Berurah, this is not specifically only vessels. He says, even if, he says, du adin shnei kisuin, two covers, v'impiresh, he says, impiresia talit, or shar kisui ala kith shel tefillin, afisha kisui ein mechasirak lemalo, min atzadin, velo lemata, afilu achishes. If you've got something else to cover over the tefillin boxes, it doesn't even cover the whole thing, just covers the top and the sides, that's also okay. He says, and this is interesting, he says, in those, yeah, the exhibit one, which we mentioned, here it is, he says, in those people who put their tefillin boxes and their talis into a big box together, that is like one big box, one big covering, and need another kisui al-gabah, need another one. אם לא שמחסה בתלית על התפילין מתוך הכיס, or you can cover the tefillin with a talis bag, with a talis, then it's fine because the talis is not part of the tefillin. Okay. Now, while we're on this, we mentioned at the very beginning, we said that stam is for Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah. So it comes a big problem. We've made discussions of Sefer Torah. I think it's clear what is Sefer Torah. It's between tefillin we discussed as well. Even books we've discussed as well. What about mezuzah on the door? All our bedrooms have got mezuzah on the door, right? So what about going into your bedroom now and having relations with mezuzah on the door? Mezuzah is on the outside of the door, not on the inside of the door. Maybe in a lot of doors it would be that case. I'll tell you why, you're probably right. In most cases, because in most cases the bedroom, the door opens inside and the door post is on the outside. And you open in and you close the door post on the outside. So that's a good answer for most houses. I'd agree with that. I think in my bedroom, absolutely most houses. There probably are exceptions, right? Especially if your lounge doubles up as a bedroom, or your dining room is a bedroom. Then Adam says that the mezuzah is covered, it's wrapped up. So that's true. No, that's with tefillin. I was going to say, that is true, but the question is it the same tefillin? Is it like tefillin, or is it different to tefillin? That's what you say. Right? You say the same as tefillin. Therefore, that wrapping is. But now the question is the box itself. Now, there are two types of boxes. You've got boxes that are transparent, and you've got boxes that aren't transparent. Okay, let's look what he says over here. He says over here, this is the Mishnah Berurah there, in the same siman there, in Orachamin Mem. He says, "Vimana mezuzah yesh kisui schuchit." There's a glass covering on the mezuzah. I'm reading here page 12, paragraph 12 and page 64. It says, if on the mezuzah there's a glass covering, right, that you can see the mezuzah through it. And like, some people have very fancy mezuzahs, and they want you to see the cloth through the mezuzah, right, through the glass, especially these big ones. He says, even so, the Mishnah Berurah says, nechshevet kisui echad, that's already considered one covering, the glass covering. And therefore, v'dai beprisat sudar ala mezuzah. But then you need to just put a covering on the mezuzah. If you're going to use the room, cover the mezuzah. Right? Daha ata lo mitchazik. Now you can't see it. He says, "Avala kule alma." Everybody agrees. He says that lo mani mitchazik od b'shchiv b'lemala afa gavs b'chzim b'shnei kisuyin daha mezuzah nirad b'tochan. So if you put another glass covering on top, so you got a glass covering on top of a glass covering, everybody agrees that might help. You know, you've got two coverings, you can see right through the mezuzah, because the mezuzah, you won't have a problem. It's not good enough. He says, he quotes the Chachmat Adam. That's Rav Danziger, right? You've got the Chaya Adam and the Chochmat Adam. It's the same sefer. You remember, I told you that joke before. It's not actually a joke. It's a true story, but I think it's a joke. But the Chaya Adam, Rav Danziger, he said, Danziger? He said, from Danzig, probably. He said that, why did he call his book Chaya Adam? Man's Life. Because no one will ever write a sefer called Kitzur Chaye Adam. Right? No one ever write a book like that. So he was safe. So he writes earlier. Yeah. So he actually is a guy in Telmond, not a from guy, Danziger's relation, third generation relation of this Danzig from the Chaye Adam. He came to we had a function on Shabbat, we had the Shabbat Yisraelit, set a table together, and he told me that. He knew the story about Kitzur Shukhut Aruch, Kitzur Chaye Adam, by the way. So Ketav HaChokhmah Adam, Nirari Debein B'mezuzah or Sha'ar Sfarim, any of the Ibasa Mitchila, two covers, two kailim. She'echshev echad l'kli b'toch kli, k'gon she'karach ha'mezuzah b'niyar. Here we are. If you wrap the mezuzah in paper, v'achar kachadir b'tik, and you put it into a box, mutar, kevin she'betchile kivein l'chach. Right, that's the Mishnah Berurah.
But all of our wrappings are
plastic.
We're talking here about glass.
Right. Okay, right. Agree. But let's say you put it in plastic in a box like that. Like if you've got a box in your house that you can't see through, and you've got the plastic, then that could be two boxes. And I think he's referring to that. Right? But now, he says, if you look at the Piskei Tshuvas, he says, V'yeshcho kima kviya zo v'sovim shakol shevedato shiyeken tamid shuv haveleke kisu yechad b'klan. It's the same as tefillin then. He says, no, if you do it from the outset, then that's its cover, and therefore it's not counted. Because we're not separate counts. Then he says it's both. Anyhow, I don't know. I think we can rely on the Mishnah Berurah personally. Okay? The last thing I want to add in here is that when we're discussing about having relations, the Mishnah Berurah, if you look there, it's written in this like orange, if you go down, like highlighted, he says that the Mishnah Berurah also covered the extent of interrelations vis-a-vis the obligation to cover holy articles, etc. also to relieving oneself. He writes, he adds in, right, the or lasot sorchav, or to basically go to the toilet. The Mishnah Berurah adds it in there. So go to the toilet, if you've got in the books in front of you, when it says, bottom line, you've got to be very, very careful. And I went to the end of over here, now we're looking at, we've got on this subject over here, is, Ukfar danu gedoleiz manenu binyan hachlafat chiturei atinokot pecheresh yesham tefillin. He said, already the posuk of our time speak about changing nappies, right, or putting a kid in a pot or whatever. If the book says, interesting, he paskins over here, he says an interesting thing. Look what the picture says over here in the middle. Skip the second line. So the chokha dehe tayre baim nasash lo derechev. He says, pasha's mutar if it's done on a permanent basis. So if you've got a baby and suddenly you're changing her diaper, and you're in a study, you could change the diaper on a one-off. You have to really now go start covering all the books and whatever the case is. But you can't make that a place where kids sleep and where they mess with all the rest. That's the bottom line that he says over there. Right, and also kids shouldn't sleep in rooms which are full of books. That's what he says. Okay, let's quickly talk on the last thing here that we're going to end off now for tonight. And that is the issue of tefillin falling. We discussed it at the beginning. We mentioned that, you know, about paying tzedakah or whatever. So here, the Gemara, we quote the Magen Avraham, right? That is Gombina, right? That's his name, Avraham Gombina. In fact, the Eliyahu Rabbah, we're going to quote him in a moment. He was a Talmud of Avraham Gombina, the Magen Avraham, and he wrote a very important sefer. We discussed the sefer before because Eliyahu Rabbah wrote his sefer on the Levush. If you remember that, on Mordechai Yaffe's Sefer, and I told you once, it's printed in the Shulchan Aruch. Levush himself wrote a comment on the Parish on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Eliyahu Rabbah wrote a Parish on the Levush. And it's printed in the Shulchan Aruch. So it's quite difficult. It causes a problem. Even in Wikipedia, I think they mention this. It's a well-known problem. That if you're learning the Shulchan Aruch and you want to learn the Eliyahu Rabbah, it's not necessarily related to the Shulchan Aruch, because it's a Parish on the Parish of the Shulchan Aruch. Anyhow, but it's considered a serious part. You'll see in a moment. He says the Megad Avraham said like this, Mishpatei Shmuel, quite a sefer, I don't know the sefer, Katuv Katzat Semech Lemash Nagu Olam, he writes there, giving a bit of background and support, with a custom, right, that it's Shenaflu Tfilin, to fast, Litanot Shenu Tfilin Ala Aretz, to fast, it's in the falls on the floor, V'chich Lomar Demari Belo Natik, and he says, we have to mention to the Megad Avraham, that they aren't in their boxes. So we call that raw Tfilin, right, like Tfilin in their naked state, not raw, naked Tfilin. Right, fall on the floor, you should fall. There's a minhag to fast.
That's boxes.
The boxes. Right?
What about on the yard that has that little box cover?
So that's a good question. Robert says, what about the little box cover? I don't know. We'll see what he talks about. Let's look at this. Let's just follow this together and try and draw the conclusion. It's like this. He quotes the Mishnah Berurah over here. Right? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Eliyahu Rabbah. Right? says, No, agima olam nitanot keshna fal hatfilah. It's in 16, paragraph 16, yeah. He says, the world is a minhag to fast with the tefillin fall on the floor. From the Alas below Narki, he writes like Megad Avraham without the box. The same thing with Sefer Torah falls. That's the difference. Sefer Torah, even the Sefer Torah, God forbid, should fall in a full box. You fast, the whole shul fasts. Not just the guy who dropped the Sefer Torah. The tefillin, if it's out of their box. That's why I said it's not exactly the same as the Sefer Torah. Vayayin be'Eliyahu Rabbah, he quotes Eliyahu Rabbah over here. He says, Shekatav, Ta'afilu betfilin benartikan yitain purtat etzdaka. And he quotes the rabbi, who he's the first guy who says it over here, that if it's in its boxes, then give money to tzedakah, you have to fast. Okay, so Robert says, what about that box on the yard itself? I think that's not good enough thinking aloud now, because it only covers the one part of it, doesn't cover the whole tefillin probably. Where the box we're speaking about covers the whole tefillin, I would imagine. Now, they're quite a safety of a guy, Rabbi Daniel Neustadt. Okay, when you look, he sounds like a youngster. I look at pictures of him, he's actually not such a youngster, like big beard or whatever. But Rabbi Daniel says he's an American, famous guy. He made himself famous because he's got this, he's got the weekly aloha discussion, I think he's got the monthly aloha discussion, he's got the daily aloha discussion, he's got them all. And the OU have got a safety called Or Olam, which is their, like an English version of Mr. Brewer. I mean, you might have seen it, they're putting it out. It's online even, I think, a part of it, you can get it going to online. He's one of the editors, one of the main editors. Big Talmid Chochem. He's a big Talmid Chochem. He's actually the grandson of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, you know, he learned in Slabotka. He came from Lithuania. He was big mate of Aaron Kotler, the founder of Lakewood. And they built, they were, the real Gedolei HaDor of America, Rav Moshe Feinstein, these guys. This was his grandfather. So not stump, he's a big Talmid Chacham. And he writes there, he says like this, if tefillin fall to the floor when they are covered, he says fasting is not required. Yeah, Howard, listen to this. Even the thin plastic boxes used nowadays for tefillin protectors are sufficient to be considered covers. Now that, Robert, our thought originally was what you're speaking about, but I think that it's the boxes that we use, I think. But you know what? When he says, yeah, I'm looking at it again, the word thin protector covers, maybe you're right. They bring a note here. Huh?
Covers, it's in the plural.
Covers, okay. I feel better now. Now, I mean it. I'm dead serious, because I've suddenly thought maybe Robert had a point there, but I think you're right. It seems difficult. That it would be just those little thin covers. But anyway, they wrote it. You know what? It's worth actually going in and finding it. They got the source here. Someone can maybe look it up. Maybe just do a Google, the weekly halacha discussion, volume 1. That can't be hard to find. It's the first one. You can do a Google. You know, I've been there. I'll look it up. But he's very makil over there. And then the Pesukei Teshuvah says over here, look, I'm skipping to the last part. He says that we get weak there. And the thing says, Ukamur b'mshecha mishna b'ri, quotes mishna b'ri. Sheim laflu at filim b'rina tikkin if you have to fast, give tzedokah, the chayim lo laflu arit spesh b'mash ila alayzi kli, they don't fall off the floor properly, only onto something else. Im laflu derech b'zayot, that's the kav lo tzrich lo. And they didn't fall, basically give money. The Yalkut Yosef here for Sfarim says the same thing. If it falls just a small fall, you should fast the whole day. He quotes the same thing in Pesukei Teshuvah, right? He says, nowadays, when basically chushel olam, the world has become weak, right? Im kasher atayitshu, it's going to be hard for him, or it's going to affect his learning if he fasts. Or he's a worker, right? A daily work gets paid a daily wage and he can't be able to work properly, right? Or if he's a teacher of kids, etc., he won't be able to teach properly. Or he's a ben yeshiva and he won't be able to learn properly, right? So then yivdeh ha-tani b'stai, redeem the fast with money, right? He says here, kashi'ur arucha achat. He puts in here the amount of money, like the measure of a meal. In their boxes, so die. Just a little bit of amount of money, whatever. Okay, so we finished over there. Answer your question. Adam asked a question. If you, because the Pesukei Teshuvah says, which I skipped over, that there are opinions that say that the binding of the book, the cover of the book, could be one of the covers, and it make you like that. So therefore, you got a pair of tefillin, like a tehillim next to your bed, or it's next to your bed, and you should cover it with some keeper cloth there for when you when to cover it.